So I'll wait for. Okay. So, welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. The meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. I'd like to welcome Melanie P. Just 1 second. Yeah, I'd like to welcome from Montreal. Welcome, Melanie. You may start. And I forgot to ask you, Melanie, I'll be posting the time in the chat. So if you look at the right-hand screen, you'll see it. Or if you want, you can pin me and you can see the time better. Thank you. Is Melanie there?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I was unable to unmute myself. That's why. So, hi, everybody. My name is Melanie P. I'm a compulsive overeater. I see some familiar face. I'm really happy. I will share my story tonight. But before I begin, I would like to say the set aside prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know I should say, and everything I think I know, everything I think I know about the program, about people one needs to, what need to hear, and help me live a new experience and see the truth. Amen. I have 17 months of abstinence by the God, by God's grace and His mercy, not by my power, because I tried many, many, many years, and you will see that it didn't work. To identify myself, food was always really important for me. I have memory of food. I remember going to church and coming back and buy some sweet, and everything is related to food in my memories. Not even memories, but trip activities. We went to Europe, my husband and I, and for what? Not to see architectures or art, but to go in restaurants and have some drinks. Everything was related to food. Even in Montreal, we went to a high the five service main course, and it was only about food. At my fifth grade in elementary school, I began to see in my pictures that I was a little bit overweight, but at a young age, I was okay. And I did a lot of diets, and I was upset, but not upset. I was obsessed to losing weight and to be thin like model. And I thought for a long time that if I was thin, everything would be wonderful. Every man would love me. I would have a great job. My life would be a success. I had no problem. And that's not what happened. So I lost a lot of weight, and I regained each time more weight. My mom, at the second grade in high school, she brought me to a nutritionist, And I remember I was mad at her because I wanted to eat, but she said no. And so that's the person I was. And my behavior about food is eating without compensation and eating fast. Before I got abstinent, I had 15 minutes. My husband said, "Okay, I will take a walk." Good. Bye-bye. So he was taking his walk, and I had a counter, and I said, "Okay, I have 15 minutes. What can I binge on? Sugar for sure." And after that, I was not. And that's what I was searching for. Or all my life, I was searching to sleep or to be numb, but not to be awake and live my life. So sugar was a really good thing for me, and volume of high volume of food. Also, if on the aspect of emotional, I always felt apart, an alien in my family at school. Didn't had a lot of friends. I preferred to be alone in my bubble or with my brother and sister. I never had the feeling, not the feeling, but the desire to be part of a group in at the high schools or anywhere. There's only one team, and this team is mine, and that's it. I was a loner. I was a seeker. I wanted my way. I was never satisfied. I always want more of anything and of any kind. My husband is really a good man. And before I got recovered, I always want more of his attention, not about money, but more to be treated more like a queen, have all the attention, and it's everything is related to me. And I got a temper. Oh yeah, I get it mad really easily. I didn't When I didn't get what I want, or I would sulk, go in my corner and say, "Oh, go to hell, everybody. Anyway, you don't understand. I'm the only one, blah, blah, blah." So that's the person I was. And I was a victim. I was a victim of everybody, my family, my work, my job, my friend, my body image. And I was trapped. I had no issue. What I want to say is I came in the room of OA really long time ago in 1993. I was 22 years old, and I met OA by a guy I met, and he was a drug addict. And I don't remember what I said to him, but he said, "Oh, there's Overeaters Anonymous for you." And I said, "Oh yeah, great." I wait. And I did my first meeting in July 1993. And as soon as I put my feet on that meeting, I felt like I was at home. I didn't understand nothing, but I felt at home with my tribe. And I remember he told me, "Okay, so what I have to do," because I thought it was another diet. And he said, "You know what you love the most? That's what you need to stop." And for me, it was sugar. So I tried for 3 years, and I was unable until one night I was doing sweets for Christmas, and I said, "God, I'm really unable to stop. And if you don't help me, I'm going to weigh 500 pounds. So I need your help because on my own, I can't." That's what they told me in the meeting. So please help me. He helped me. A member brought me to see a Hey fellow, and he taught me how to do the steps. I did it. I lost my weight, and I was 170 pounds. So I was 20 pounds overweight. Lost my weight, and I remember telling to my mom, "Mom, I'm so happy. I got it. I was arrive. It was wonderful." But not for long, because what I learned over the years is when I put down the food, without working the steps. My anxiety went up and I did panic attack and I didn't know why. And it took me a long time to understand. Because the AA fellow taught me how to do the steps, but I didn't stick to it. And I was not surrendered by, I didn't have a God squad to do my 10 step or to stick to meetings. And I was young and I know it all. So, and I got it. So, and I met my husband. We moved on a farm far away from the meeting, and it was my choice. And I took my distance from fellows, from meetings. I did AA meetings, but it's not the same. And I began again. That's what I need to say first. Before OA, I was searching for a solution. All my life, I tried to find a solution to lose the weight because I thought the only problem I had is only the weight. Because I was able to lose my weight and do some diet, and it was okay, but it didn't last, never last. And after that, I relapsed because I was searching for a solution. I relapsed, and I relapsed for 15 years. It was really suffering. It was painful. I was doing meeting. I felt trapped. Again, I was feeling, yeah, I didn't thought about it, but I was feeling aliens in the meeting in a way. I was alone. And this feeling of being alone inside myself and being trapped, I think that's the most painful thing for me, more than the weight. And because I relapsed, I gained weight. So I got until 211 pounds. And on July, I think July is a good month for me. July 2023, I was with my granddaughter and we were supposed to go to the movie theater. And my husband said, "Oh, I don't really go. I don't want to go with you. I'm tired." And again, I said, "Yes, I'm gonna binge like hell." So we binge like hell. But I forgot that my granddaughter was 7 and 8 at that time. And the older one got sick during the night. She threw up. And in the morning, she told me that she threw up. And she didn't want to eat for breakfast. And then I realized that, shoot, she will say to her parents what I'm going to say to them, what I'm looking like. I don't know what to say. And then I got a wake up call. Like, okay, you want to binge, that's your problem. But bring kids with you, that's another thing. So I continued to binge, and I went to a meeting, a big book meeting, and I found a sponsor found me because I wasn't searching, and I did my steps with her. I had a food plan because, and we identify my trigger food, and not only my trigger food, but my behavior food, because I thought it was only sugar. At first, I was only the sugar is only my problem, and I realized that it's not sugar. It's when it's mix of sugar, flour, and fat, it's nirvana. Oh my God. So I have to avoid that. And you know, even at the birthday party, this year, I was at the restaurant and I doubt that I'm not sure fat is a problem for me. And I ordered a salmon and it was too fatty, too greasy. And I got triggered. And I had to call my sponsor and it stopped that. It was only for this meal. But oh my God, I just opened the switch of the disease. So why I'm saying that I'm an overeater is I have two parts. Is first, I have some trigger food, some behavior food. And when I'm doing those behavior or I'm taking those kinds of food, there's something in me open up, and I feel like my eyes is wide open, and I have only one thought, and one thought only, and it is to binge, and I want more. And I will try to be kind with people and be interested in them, but I don't give a damn because I want them to go away and to binge. That's the only thing I want. So, and I tried to control myself. Like, I don't understand why people take only one bite and, oh, I'm full. What? I don't feel like I'm full. Never. And so I don't understand. For me, they are not normal. I'm the normal one. So by doing the big book, that's what I learned. I'm different than the normal people because I want more. And but if I was only wanted more, I just had to stop those foods, but I can't. Because I can't manage my life. I can't live my life. I can't stand my life. I can't be with myself only alone and trying to manage my feelings and feelings that are uncomfortable and dealing with people and set boundaries. It's really hard for me to do that alone. So that's what I learned with by doing last time by doing my big book study. That I had a food allergy and a twist of the mind. And there's always something in my mind telling me after a while when I stopped, could be a great thing to eat those things. And I don't remember all the hell I was the last time. And I'm picking these things and the switch on and I'm gone. So that's what I learned. And the other thing I learned is how many years that I tried by myself, my own solution to get out of the food. I tried eating, intuitive eating, didn't work. Of course, it won't work because I don't have this sense of feeling full when I'm eating, even today. So I need to weigh and measure my food because I don't know if it's okay. If I count only on this feelings, I tried church, I tried moving, changing job, being a victim, trying the big book study twice, but it was more highlight things in the big book, not understanding thing, and yeah, understand what is my problem. Because why I'm like that? Is it because I'm maladjusted to life, or I'm crazy? I have something. Before I came in 2023, I was thinking, do I have a mental disease? Why I'm like that? I feel so weird. And when I heard the really what is the problem, the food allergy, the twist of the mind, and the root of my troubles with S, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, because everything is related to me. Like my grandkids, I wasn't thinking about how they felt. I was thinking about me, what their parents going to think about me. And even today, when I'm doing 10 step, it's always related to me. So I did my steps. So I did an inventory. I share my inventory with my sponsor. I turn my but before I understood that alone, I cannot. Sorry. I will begin with the first step, food allergy, twist of the mind. I understood that on my own, with everything I tried, nothing worked. So I'm a desperate case and I need help. And this help is nobody human will give me this help. So So who else except God? So I tried, and I tried for many years. And for me, God was like a Santa Claus. Okay, I ask you this, you give me this. And if you give me this, I'm going to do this. And if you don't give it to me, I won't do it. And it's the proof that you don't exist and blah, blah, blah. And when I came again in the last time, what the only thing I knew is I don't need to describe this God. I don't need to believe in other religion of others or mine when I was young. The only thing I need is to know is I'm not God. There is one. And I just believe that there's something greater than myself who can restore me to sanity, because on my own, I can't. That's where I start. And I was also thinking, you know, when a blind person has an assistant dog, you don't sit on the dog. That's my kind of thinking. You don't sit on the dog and say, okay, bring me to the grocery store. Okay, thank you, waiting. Yeah, no, that's not how it works. It's a collaboration. They need to do both things. So I thought, oh, okay, it's not just I'm asking and I'm waiting and I do nothing. So that's where I start. And also, you know, when you take a plane and it's cloudy and you go over the cloud, the sun is there. So my life, God is always there for me. It's just sometimes I'm blocked. I'm blocked by my selfishness, my fear, my dishonesty, or every time, every kind. And so I tried. I give my life to God as I understand it, and it was really a big step for me, because I thought that if I gave my life, he will send me away in a poor country to proclaim his life, or I don't know, to be a missionary. But that's not what happened. So I did my first step, gave my fifth step, I tried to turn my, you know, the set, step six, ask him to remove my defective character, make my list of amends I had to do. I did it. And today I live on 10, 11, and 12. And it's not always easy, but I have this contentment sometimes. I'm just sitting here in front of my computer and I feel happy. For nothing. And it never happened to me. I was always desperate. I was always anxious, angry, complaining about something, criticizing, judging. It was hell. It doesn't, I won't tell you that it doesn't happen. It's still happening, but I know that I have some move to do. And I understood that the doing my step is not okay, I'm done, and like I did in the past. I'm done, I'm okay, I'm cured, I arrive, and it's over. No, life gets lifey. I got problem, things happen, but I'm trying not to live my life on what's happening externally, but how to be at peace with myself. And accept things that are happening to me. Like my husband has cancer, his cancer is back. It's not fun. But I know now that I have a fellowship who can support me. I'm not alone anymore. I have WhatsApp group. I can call people 24/7. I have a strong meeting where I'm going. It's 7 days a week. We have our WhatsApp group too. And I can count on people. But what I learned is that there's not a meeting who will save me. There's no people who will save me. That's not the tools. But I need all of this. And I heard one time at a meeting, and the person, and I will read it to you, but the tools helped me work through the steps. The steps have allowed me to develop a personal relationship with God or a higher power, as I understand him, and to experience spiritual awakening and to see differently the life, differently situation, and not be a victim anymore. And God keeps me sober. And I cannot be sober without working through the tools again and again. And I go to the recovery carousel. And I really love that because sometimes I heard that that's not the tools, that's not this, that's not that. But I need all of these. I need to practice all of these, my phone calls to connect with fellows. Because if I stay alone in my head, and that's where the problem is, and that's written in the big book, it's in my mind. And what's in my mind? Thoughts, a lot of thoughts. And for me, at the beginning, I was doing 10 step on everything because I was so afraid to relapse. And then sometimes I just sit down and I feel like it's running in my head. It's a tornado, and I feel like I have so much problem. And then I take a pencil and a paper and I said, okay, I'm saying to myself, with thoughts, just write down what is the problem now. And I feel like I have 20 problems, and that's not true sometimes. And the most I have is four. So yeah, four. But my life is over. I have only four. And I'm doing 10 step and I share on it after that. And then the peace is coming back to me. And I feel like I'm connected. I'm aligned with this power. I don't go to church. That's my belief. And I want to say that that's my story. It doesn't mean that everybody in OA has the same story, live the same way, the steps. And we need to find out with the big book how to live and to find a way that it's helped us to stay abstinent. And not only abstinent, because today I understand that abstinence is not the most important thing in my life. It's my relationship with God because it's God who keep me abstinent. It's not me. On my own, I can't. I lost my weight. I lost 68 pounds. Yeah, great, happy. But after a while, it means nothing to be thin. It's not fun because at the beginning, I was afraid because people were saying, oh, you lose weight. You're so cute. Oh, but now they don't say nothing because it's 17 months, so they see me and they say nothing. So if I only want to stay and sit on this feeling of being tame, I will relapse. I know. So people see in me that I lost my weight, probably that I'm stick to my diet, but deep down inside, I know that's not the point. I'm thin because I'm doing my food plan. I'm writing down everything I eat every day. I'm sending it to my sponsor, but I'm doing it to have a peace of mind. And I feel like all this program is to have a peace of mind. When I'm in peace, when I'm aligned, when I feel great inside, then I can give to others. I can be an example. Because I don't want to be anymore just words. I want to show with my actions. And yeah, that was my story. I hope I helped someone. And thank you for listening to me.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for sharing. And let me